Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the Interoperability Standards Workgroup. Before I begin roll call, I would like to remind everybody that your feedback is always welcomed, which could be typed in the chat feature throughout the meeting, or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:55 Eastern Time this morning. So I'm now going to begin roll call of our workgroup members. So when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Marian Malik. Kelly Aldrich.
Good morning, everyone.
Hans Butendeck.
Good morning.
I know Thomas Cantalina can't join us today. Christine Caraballo.
Good morning.
Grace Cordovano.
Good morning.
Stephen Eichner.
Good morning.
Sanjeev Tandon.
Good morning.
Raj Gopati. Jim Jurgis. Ken Kawamoto. John Kilbourne.
Good morning.
Leslie Leonard. Han Lu.
Good morning.
David McCauley. Clem McDonald. Mark Savage. Michelle Schreiber.
Good morning.
Abby Sears. And Ram Charan.
Good morning.
Good morning to everyone, and now please join me in welcoming Stephen for his opening remarks.
Actually, Arian's here too, so we're in good hands.
Great. Good morning, Arian.
So once again, thank you everyone for joining us this morning and for your time that you've invested to getting us to this point. We are very much in the home stretch, working on our final recommendations to prepare to deliver to the HITECH next month. And we don't want to waste any time today because there's just a lot of recommendations that have been finely crafted for your consideration today. So lots of you are going to get to hold the mic. We can go through the slides quickly here. Next one up. Can we proceed on the slide deck? There we go. These are the HITECH priority use cases that we've been presented with to focus on the supporting public health, interoperability, privacy, security, and patient access. You'll see that throughout the comments that we have today. Next slide. And this, of course, is our task, closing in on a set of final recommendations regarding the ISA to address those high priority use cases. And on the next slide is, and go one forward, one more forward. This is how we're gonna organize our initial work here. Grace, Christina, Mark, Hans, David are going to present some recommendations that they've been preparing for our consideration, and then we've got a bunch of lab recommendations, and Hung Lu and Hans will hopefully walk us through those. So we don't want to waste any time. Do you have anything to add, Arian, before we jump right in?
Let's get to it.
Okay, well, Mark, I'm glad your car avoided the street sweepers there in Oakland. It's a dangerous world out there, so great. Grace, I heard your voice. Are you prepared to take us on a trip through item number 12? Let's have somebody pull up the spreadsheet here so we can make reference to it. And I want to remind everyone that we've tried to kind of separate things out. Grace's recommendation did have some structural recommendations as well as some content recommendations. I think most of the structural issues have been pulled off into another set of recommendations that Christine will be taking us through. But Grace, why don't you share with us how you've crafted this recommendation based on the presentations that we heard a couple weeks ago.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Stephen. And I apologize, I am on my phone. I don't have a solid internet connection. They're working on power lines in my neighborhood after a really bad storm. So thanks for your patience as I try to work through this. I am focusing on the HIPAA right to request corrections to one's medical record. And as Stephen mentioned, there were some structural recommendations that I had included in this, but they're really also going to be touched on in the recommendations as worked on as well. Really, the points of emphasis here with respect to...
You know, Grace, your audio stinks. So why don't we pause and see if there's anything that you can do to improve that rather than kind of painfully go through that. You might not be hearing me at all because it sounds like we might have lost you. I would suggest that we hold off on Grace's work for a few minutes and jump ahead to Christina and number 18. Just so that we can keep rolling along. And I'll reorganize the screen as we do that so that we can see this a little bit better. Christina?
Sorry about that.
You're good.
Okay, perfect. So if we're just taking down to recommendation 18, I did a little reformatting here just to orient everyone. And what I did in 18 was put all of the content updates. So I took out, I kind of took 18 and 20 and pulled information from 20 that was more like structural content recommendations for the overall ISA and put them into 18. In 20, I believe it's still crossed out for reference so people can see what I pulled up if you would like to reference it. But I'm gonna jump right into kind of going through the recommendations that we have so far. And I did work with Mark and Grace a little bit on Friday as well to incorporate some of their kind of content and overall structure of ISA recommendations into this one. Which is reflected in recommendation one under this, which is to change the specialty care and settings to use cases under the ISA content section and include use cases in both one, a tab under the ISA content, and two, as reference editions. This was kind of a bonus recommendation that was put in over the weekend. I was personally trying to find these specialty care settings and was having trouble navigating it and realized that these specialty care settings slash new proposed use cases are not in the reference edition or in the overall navigation. So this is where this comes in. And I think this is going to be really important for one of Grace's recommendations that's not included yet. But off to the side, Grace had put in a recommendation to, and I think it, in minimizing the screen, it's disappeared. So I'm gonna go by memory, just bear with me, but more to like have a way to find things more easily. It's really hard to sift through ISA and figure out specific use cases or purposes or where different things may align and overlap. So instead of having that recommendation incorporated this round, we think that adding this use case interactive place in ISA will start to address this concern because it's going to give bundles of kind of or packages of standards for use case specific needs. So that'll be kind of round one of our recommendations. And that's why you don't see Grace's other recommendation reflected in here. Happy to talk through anything else or address concerns, but that's the intent of this one. The second recommendation here is that ONC add a tagging and or prioritization schema to highlight use cases that ONC believes warrant particular focus on national priorities. So in some type of starring or flagging system. In this use case section, we are recommending that the ONC expand the use cases. At a minimum, we are recommending that ONC expand to include the use cases identified by the HITAC in September of 2021. We also are recommending to add a few additional use cases. You'll see it's an A and B, which include achieving health equity by design, patient requests for correction, price transparency, and all of the FHIR accelerator use cases. If there are any others that were in our overall recommendations, I haven't captured them, please draw that to our attention now as well. I almost just added public health right before the call as Stephen was putting up the priority slides, but that is one of the HL7 FHIR accelerators with Helios. So I'm assuming that is kind of covered indirectly. So here we have those recommendations. Moving on to the next one, we recommend that ONC review all the high priority use cases submitted via the US CDI submission process and include relevant information fields from the US CDI submission form, such as links to project pages, overviews that people have submitted on the importance of the use cases, et cetera. Sharing this information in ISA will enable communities of interest to more efficiently and effectively engage in identifying gaps and advancing interoperability needs for high priority use cases, regardless of US CDI level or inclusion. Part of this was just to create a platform that's very transparent. One of the intentions that we had with US CDI originally was to have a place where people could start really contributing to high priority interoperability needs. And I think that this could potentially be partially shifted into ISA because it is more expansive than just the US CDI. So that is kind of the catalyst of that recommendation. The next one is that we recommend that ONC add challenges to the limitations, dependencies, and preconditions for consideration with guiding text to encourage capturing information that aligns with the US CDI submission form. For example, any restrictions on standardization and use, privacy and security concerns, and implementation burdens. You'll see very heavily reflected kind of incorporating a lot of the really robust data that's captured in the US CDI submission form in these recommendations. The next one is that we recommend ONC add accelerator to the standards process maturity classification. This would update the ISA to include 4 classifications. For reference, right now it is the classifications are final, balloted, draft, in development, and we are proposing to add in development noted as accelerator. The next one is for ONC to include in the ISA, the USVI versions a standard is mapped to where relevant, where a standard implementation guide or similar is required by federal programs. And the next is that ONC expand the federally required characteristic beyond a simple yes, no, to list federal programs in which ISA items, in which an ISA item is named and or required, including specific certification criterion. And then the next one is to that we recommend ONC provides the source that can be reviewed for each of the maturity adoptions of standards. This, I think, was edited as I was reading. So sorry, I just got a little disoriented as the screen was moving around. I had a note in here. My proposed recommendation, I think, just disappeared in front of me. I don't know what just happened.
I don't think so. I only took out my own.
Okay, hold on.
I apologize. I'm just trying to
help
us clean as we go.
I'm clear on this next one. Stephen, stop messing with the Google Doc while I'm reading. Thank you very much. hold, please. I might have it I was doing my own little spell checks in here. Some awful speller. I'd have to find it. Hans, this was one that you had added and I revised it.
Correct.
You guys are going to have to give me a second. I'm going to look and see if I've got it anywhere.
Is the intent to provide the evidence for rather than
that was sports? The original intent when I wrote it down and talked about it to better understand that if there is a statement that is highly adopted or it's still immature or whatever the statement might be, there's a better understanding of what is that based on? What drives that? Is it there a survey? Is there a number of certified citizens in the chapel that reflect then a percentage of likely users? What is it that leads us to say that's why it is high, low, medium, whatever?
Got it. Hey, Hans, can you, there's one thing that's tripping me up, which is accelerator as a standards process maturity classification. I think about an accelerator that could bring a standard all the way through to final. I wonder how you think about that because you've been closely involved in the standards community.
When I read that, I was not sure how that would help clarify, other than awareness that is the track that it's on. So it is high visibility, high focus, but being part of an accelerator does not necessarily mean that it is more or less mature.
Yep.
So I think that those are separate parts. So I can see value for denoting something that, and perhaps also indicating which one, and in a number of them that might already be happening. But to make it a level of maturity would be a challenge, because that really is not a function of being an accelerator. It just means it's going to hopefully go faster.
Yep, that's my take as well.
Christina, just FYI, that recommendation was still there. You had it at the bottom, but you had it marked through, so it didn't disappear.
Oh, I just
duplicated it, but that's fine. Whoever's doing the display, can you like pop out and back in or refresh the screen? Because you're not showing the latest. Yeah.
Yeah, and I did kind of find this. I wanted to make sure I had been a little confused on this one.
And go back to 18. Okay, so yeah, now it's in there twice. So I'll remove the second one just so that we can be clearer. Yeah.
Yeah, and what I had just put in, I revised this one a little bit, and based on this conversation, it might not have captured it, but it was basically a recommendation that ONC review how the maturity and adoption level are determined and provide guidance on how specific ISA items are categorized with links to any relevant resources used in the assessments.
So get us back to 18, whoever's doing the display. Terrific. All right. I think we can see almost all of it. Let me just shrink, see a little bit again. All right. So we are looking for questions, comments, votes of confidence in this list of recommendations that you can now all see on the screen.
So I think Hans and I are proposing that we remove the accelerator as a standards process maturity classification. It may be a relevant piece of information to add into the ISA, but is sort of it's an orthogonal axis to standards process maturity.
Christina, are you comfortable with that?
I was thinking that
they're suggesting that the new one that you put in here that I will change the color of not be necessary.
Yeah, no, I was following. I was just kind of thinking through it. I think we've got some hands up.
Okay, well, think about that. David?
I think that the fact that a use case is being addressed via an accelerator is a substantial flag of interest and should be tracked somewhere. I agree that it's not a definition of a standard maturity per se, but I would hate to see that flag lost. I'm not sure exactly where best to put it, but.
So David, maybe the recommendation is recommend that ONC add an indication if a use case is being addressed through an accelerator.
Yeah, find the right place to put it, because I think at least the way accelerators are currently constructed, they reflect a broad engagement of community, not just a single SDO, but in fact, entities in the real world doing real world work. And that's a really important
thing. And I think we are making recommendations that they be included in the highlighted use cases as well, which again is a good place to raise their priority. But right. Then maybe we also recommend that there be some indication that it's covered through an accelerator.
How do you like that phrasing, general
I like
people?
It. Okay. But I wouldn't confine it to HL7 Fire.
Okay.
Through an SDO accelerator.
Right. There could be others, IHE, other entities that are profiling bodies that address these concerns.
And then we'd want to strike the second sentence.
So then we're going to take out the recommendation in red. This makes sense. I think.
No. I think we're going to leave it
first sentence
modified.
Yeah.
Update the display, please, presenter. Thank you.
Visible.
Back to 18. Sorry about that. It seems like every time you update, we get lost. I apologize. All right. Other comments. Steve Eichner, you've made a number of comments about public health.
Yes, and just to reemphasize the discussion chat, public health does need to be, I think, included in the list of priority areas. And looking at that bulleted list, a number of the listed areas touch on, or if not completely underneath public health. So I'm kind of wondering, is there a good way of denoting that from a schema or almost as a cross-reference approach? Also thinking about the way USCDI Plus may be developed, again, it's kind of a cross-cutting intersection, but I don't want to lose public health.
Yeah, again, and as I put in the chat, Steve, ONC has already identified use of technologies that support public health, interoperability, privacy, and security, and patient access. So we either should add those to this list or take out the ones that are already acknowledged.
Stephen, I made the edit to SDO. I think what's going on is if you're in the cell and then, oh, there we go. So what's in the cell, if you're in the cell and then you don't hit, if you make the edit, but then you don't hit return, it doesn't reflect.
Right. So did you make an edit?
I made an edit. You just made an edit. It flipped back. That's all right.
Okay. Sorry. I got out. So go ahead. It's all yours. Okay. David?
I'm just a little bit of a picky point about priorities, and I'm a little bit less clear. Are we asking the ISA to identify that a use case is a priority, or are we just picking some use cases that we want to make sure have a place in the ISA?
Both.
Well, then how do we timestamp the priorities? Because priorities change.
So, I don't know that we need to comment on that, but I think the point is that we have a recommendation here to have a more comprehensive list of use cases. Priority use cases is what we called them, but then a prioritization schema amongst those. That's the second recommendation.
Well, I would suggest that the prioritization schema is orthogonal to the list of use cases. I mean, again, what was a priority in 2009 when this all got started is different in 2022.
Agreed. Do you think that how can we modify the language to make that clear?
Um, I'm not sure. I think the addition of these priorities that might be missing makes a lot of sense, but that doesn't mean they are the prioritization, right? Precision medicine may be a priority, or population health. I mean, those are gigantic, broad notions, research, my gosh. It's kind of meaningless to say that's a priority.
But yeah, so I don't think we're saying that they are priorities. So I think what we're saying is these are high level use cases that are cross cutting to the rows in the ISA, and that there be a place where one can see all of the content of the ISA that is cross cut by the use case.
Yeah,
and this is exactly the reason why we took out the word priority from priority use case when we discussed this last time.
Yeah,
because I don't think we're making an assertion of prioritization. I think what we're asserting is this is something. I think what we're proposing to ONC is that it's useful to have a view that somebody might want to look at that lists all of the stuff relevant to a particular area.
Yeah, a given administration will have their priorities that will involve where they put their policy work, their funding, et cetera. That's independent of the list of things in the ISA.
Right. That's right. Which I think is, are you recommending changes to what's here or additions to what's here? Because I think what we're saying is change specialty care and setting to use cases. At a minimum, include the priority use cases voted September 9th, add the additions and the accelerator use cases, add a tagging and or prioritization scheme to highlight use cases that ONC believes warrant a particular focus at the present time.
I'm good, Arian. Yeah. I'm good. At the present time, I'll, as long as that's tracked, is this the notion that priorities shift? They can't all be a priority at the same time.
Yeah. Classic prioritization trap. All right.
And priorities to whom in terms of looking at size and scope.
But this is up to ONC. I mean, this is ONC's list, right?
And it's an administration's decision as to what is their priority. So got it. I think they'll figure it out. I think we've registered the concern that make it clear that you can't have everything be an equal priority. Otherwise, there is no priority.
Al Taylor.
I wanted to add, to ask a question about what this recommendation is going to do. Is it the assumption that once these use cases, some of which are priority, high priority, is the recommendation going to assume that ONC is going to identify or research each of these use cases and then try and sort through all of the ISA entries to figure out which of each of the interoperability needs is associated with each of these use cases? Or is that going to be proposed by this body or just someone else in the general public as far as some advocate of those use cases?
Al, I think right now what we're saying is that a view where one can interleave across terminology, content, transport, administrative standards to address a particular topic area is a useful view. I think you're asking really important questions about the process by which that view would be updated. Take this right now as a reflection that it's a useful view and we want more of it.
Okay, I guess it might be helpful for me to explain why I said that or why I asked that question. In order to tag these pages, each page has to individually be edited to associate a tag with it. And so we're looking at 10 plus use cases here that are not part of the current specialty care areas. Each page that might be associated with each use case would have to be manually edited and tagged with each of these use cases as appropriate.
Sounds like a CMS problem.
The number of hundreds of I'm asking. If that's the ask, that's the ask.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think a useful selection of technology that allows for a tagging access for information and allows for views to be assembled from that tagging access could address the problem, as opposed to kind of manually maintaining an index. And I get it that if the intent here is to manually maintain an index, and there's a human at ONC who has to manually maintain that index, that's going to limit the number of, or limit the applicability of these cross-cutting areas.
Hans had a suggestion to remove the word high, as I've highlighted in red here, from the fourth recommendation.
I was going one step further, also the word priority. So that we talk about use case that came in from USCDI, use case come on otherwise, and then orthogonal to that is that where there are priorities, there are priorities, but that recommendation seemed to be appropriate regardless of the prior, quote-unquote priority, however we talk about it.
Any objection to that change? Okay, Christina?
No objection. I was just going back to kind of Al's point or question, and this does raise a concern. We have a pretty big list on here, and I think they can all be argued that they're definitely a priority. Then how does ONC then go and make sure that we have these nice bundles of use cases that are easy to navigate within ISA and gets us to like more of a place where we can go in and kind of have those standards all tagged in nice packages that we'd like to see? And what is ONC's capability in the next year to be able to build this? And then what are our real priority recommendations based on like just the amount of work that we're asking to do that I think is really, really important. And this also goes to the heart of just Grace's point where we need to have a way to navigate ISA for these specific use cases. So do we then make an exercise to order them? And I don't know that that's right now, but we might need to start to think through this. Like we recommend that this starts to be built out. And then there's a second phase of like the how this happens.
Yeah, it feels like what we're saying is we recommend that ONC review the human factors associated with the ISA search and consider technology and usability changes to make the ISA more useful for ISA users. I'm trying to phrase this in a way that isn't making recommendations to ONC to pick certain technology or to add certain features. But I think what we've all experienced is that the usability of the ISA, the navigation associated with the ISA right now is suboptimal. And I think we just had a conversation that said that the process that ONC uses to update the ISA is pretty manual and onerous. Those are interesting reflections. It might be useful for us to make a recommendation about the overall usability and human factors associated with the ISA and for ONC to, you know, look at whether it's possible to change the usability and human factors, which might include a technology change, but that's really not for us to say. Does that make sense?
I think so. And I think we've given this enough time. I don't think we are prepared to tackle sort of how ONC goes about tackling these recommendations or addressing them. One thing I will note, Christina, is that down in number 20, we had a recommendation that the ISA include the priorities use cases in the fire accelerators. I'm assuming we can take that out of 20 as we've now kind of mentioned it in 18. Is that true?
Hans, are you okay with that?
I missed the one that was going to be moved or removed from 20.
It was the ISA includes all the prioritized use cases across all HL7 fire accelerators, as well as the PASSIO project.
Yeah, it seemed that that was not totally addressed in 18 explicitly to say is that look at these accelerators to pick it up. So there are references in 18 to this. So that's why I think it was landed here to not have the individual references that David McCauley had to
drop. Oh, okay. In. Okay. So you're saying leave it in 20 and we don't need to re-reference it in 18.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, very and good. Then when we come back to 20 and the other ones, we can make sure that we got the full list.
All right. Anything else then with regard to either 18 or 20? We'd like to finalize 18. Going once, going twice. All right.
I'm putting a recommendation to along the line of what I just noted. I'm happy to delete that if the work group thinks that's not useful.
Okay. Which you want to highlight it?
I'm just about to put it. Okay. Put it in. Just the basically redesign or the usability.
Okay. Factors. Yeah. Maybe put it in red so we can just. Yeah.
Why don't you keep going? Why don't you keep going and we can circle
hold
back.
On. I and J were I think. We need to look at I and J really quickly because that's not finalized.
Okay.
J, I think, was my revision of I, and you can see my note that I.
Ah, yes. They're sort of duplicative. Can we just go with J and remove I? Or is there some we should pull over?
Any objections? Does J capture the intention of I okay?
Yeah, I think they can be merged. I think J is fine to because they're putting in there any relevant resources used in the assessment. And that's essentially what it's trying to get at.
Arian, are you in that cell? I think you are. Yep.
I'm in here. You want me to, if I'll delete I unless I'm on.
Perfect. Yeah, delete I. All right. I think Arian got pulled away. That now he's back.
I was on mute. I'm in here. Do you want me to delete I and then?
No. I think it got done. It's done.
Yeah, it's just that I'm in here as well, making edits. So and we don't need multiple edits.
Yeah, copy your edits, Arian, so you don't lose them. Yeah, because. Christina you may lose them as soon as you hit return. All right. Well, we're being a little inefficient here. So, okay. So you threw in the K.
I threw in the K and mine overwrote Christina. So we want to delete I as well.
Yeah. We want to delete I and then we'll renumber real quick.
Yeah. I got it.
Sorry, folks. We try to be more efficient than this. Okay, so K is the new one. Recommend that ONC review the usability and human factors of the current ISA content and assess human factors and technology changes that might be warranted to improve the overall usability of the ISA. All right. Anything else on this list? That's an amazing set of recommendations, which really plumbs deeper than this work group where its preceding task forces has gone in the past. Anything else? Terrific. All right. Now, let's go back and see if we can go back up to Grace's number 12. Grace, how's your audio? Are you with us, Grace? Oh, maybe not.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we are. There you are.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you so much. All right, take two on HIPAA right to request corrections to one's medical record. I have four global recommendations and two granular. I'll go through them quickly. The four global recommendations. One, we recommend ONC ensures that the general public and healthcare sector recognize that the HIPAA right to request corrections to one's medical records use case broadly applies to all information in the designated record set and all EHI. Two, we recommend ONC establishes certification criteria to enable the HIPAA request for correction amendment process via patient access FHIR API. 3, we recommend ONC ensures that patients at minimum can make their corrections through the patient access API for all data available through the API. 4, we recommend ONC collaborates with the HL7 Patient Empowerment Work Group to help address gaps in standards, capabilities, and implementation of patient requests for medical record corrections. Those are the 4 global recommendations based on the presentation and also the corresponding policy levers that you can find to the right in column G. And on a more granular level, there's 2 recommendations. We recommend adding patient requests for corrections to the services/exchange consumer access and exchange of health information and any corresponding terminology and exchange standards where applicable. Similarly, we recommend adding patient requests for corrections to administrative transactions to support clinical care. And again, any corresponding terminology and exchange standards.
Thank you, Grace. Very tight and very well spoken. Let me just ask the one at the top here about including the use case. We've already captured that above now, correct? So we can get rid of that one?
That's correct.
Okay, that one goes away. All right. And so now we have these specific recommendations. Anybody?
To be clear, Stephen, are you in the cell? I think we just need.
I'm out.
Okay, cool. We just need, if people are in the cell and making edits, we need to call an audible.
Yeah, Michelle.
Back up to where we were because I had a specific question about the language. I think it may have been higher up. And Grace, it was about patients being able to make correction directly through an API. I'm all in favor of patients being able to request correction, but I want to make sure that we're not giving patients the ability to go into their electronic medical record and change it without that being reviewed.
That's correct. Patients are not going in to make their own corrections, but it's to request the correction.
So I think number 3 does say make their corrections.
Yeah, that was the issue. It says can make their corrections. I would hope it's make a request for their corrections.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yes, we can clarify. I agree.
Okay, thanks, Grace.
All right, is that okay? Right, like that?
Thank you.
All right. I'll just pop in and out unless somebody tells me they want to go in and work, okay? That way we won't step on each other, right? Hans?
Thank you. On number 1 in that same list, at the end, a small wordsmithing, it states and all EHI. That might give the impression that there's a different data set than designated record set. Perhaps it says that and therefore all EHI, because EHI is a subset of designated record set. It's not a new separate set.
Okay, Ike?
Yeah, I was going to reemphasize that point because for public health as a hybrid entity or often a hybrid entity, HIPAA applies to some of the data that public health possesses, but not all data and not all systems.
Okay. Other thoughts?
So I think this is so that there's clarity that, again, looking at the scope of patient access, patient correction is constrained to HIPAA covered data sets, which is, you know, unless there's other statute that may apply.
Yeah, so this is an area where I think we could be more effective by giving ONC more flexibility, unless we strongly believe that the right mechanism is a certification criterion, because I think there's actually more in the policy framework than certification for criteria. So I was typing out something on the order of things we've done in other places, recommend that ONC work with federal partners and other stakeholders to increase the adoption and use of patient right to HIPAA correction via API or something of that nature. And I'm more than happy to work on language there that'll provide a more flexible set of policy tools. And then Grace, on the first bullet, recommend that ONC ensures the general public and healthcare sector recognize the HIPAA right to correction. I mean, it's a HIPAA right, right? So what are we saying in the first one? Is this about ONC working with OCR to increase understanding that it's a HIPAA right, or it's hard.
Thank you for that question. I think this comes really from the patient care partner and consumer perspective. It seems that this has really been swept under the rug, and it's there in the policy framework, but no one really pays attention to it. It's a consumer and health citizen and patient advocacy, educational standpoint, and also to bring industry and all the stakeholders on the same page to make sure everyone recognizes this isn't a nice to have, this is a right. And yeah. I feel that that has not been emphasized enough. I think there's an educational component and an awareness component that really can be better amplified across the board.
Got it. So what we're recommending here is that ONC with other federal partners and other stakeholders improve education around the existing HIPAA right to correction?
Correct. And I would even go as far as to say perhaps it took quite a bit of digging to get all of the different policy levers, and people who have been focused in this area were even surprised to learn of some of these policy levers that I have listed. I would imagine even an article or a piece summarizing these policy levers as a reference and including others, if there are other ones that I have missed, would be extremely helpful for anyone that's interested in this space.
Okay, and so I think Stephen, if you're in there, I think what we're saying is
I'm in and I'm out. So I try to put it in there. Tell me.
Okay, I can make the correction to the point. This the request is for broader education and promotion.
Good. No, go ahead and add it. Other thoughts, John Kilbourn.
Quick question: is there a necessity that we say something about what happens to these requests? Presumably the API receives a request and they go into some log file somewhere. Do we have to say something about someone should look at that log file, or?
I don't think we do, John. I mean, yeah, HIPAA already says how that works. This is really about the technology to support the submission of the request.
All right.
My understanding.
That's correct. We're not dictating how any healthcare delivery organization or stakeholder is required to process and organize that. This is specifically at this juncture, how to initiate that request and be able to use technology to do so and digitize it.
Anything else, John? Your hand's still up. Good. Okay. Ike?
Yes, just reconciling B and C. I think they can be combined, because it looks to me like C is constraining, at least initially, the requested corrections, or just constraining B just to make a request for correction, not necessarily making the correction itself. So it would seem like they could be combined.
I'm in there making. I'll make a proposed edit and see if we can agree on the proposed edit.
If that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts on this? I'm sure we'll capture that. All right. Then we're going to be ready to move this one to complete.
And
yes.
Again, how does B and C combined differ from E?
Under the global recommendations?
Yes.
Number two, that one was more on the certification criteria. And number three was making the request that at minimum establishing the floor that corrections should be made through a patient access API, if that helps clarify.
And I think for that reason, B and C are different.
Correct.
Arian, you're still in there?
I am. So sorry, B and C are different. Can you, I think I was tracking up into that last point.
So
in my mind, go ahead, Grace.
Point two, or B as is being referred, is really a recommendation to establish the certification criteria to enable the request.
Okay, I got
number
it. I got
really
it.
Really the maximum.
I think we can combine them. So I got it. I'll propose something and we can come back to it.
Okay.
B would be, I guess, to require support for the HIPAA request, not to enable.
And then I think we are going to want to come back and ask ourselves how many of these are really ISA specific recommendations and how many of them are more kind of general ONC recommendations. But today may not be the day for that. I do want to keep moving while Arian is making those edits. So if we can shift our focus up to item number one, Mark, I think you were going to take us through that next.
Yes. Based on the conversation last time, I heard two overarching points. One is that it's not just about shared care planning, but the care coordination. And the other point I heard was the importance of including some kind of a specification about what a dynamic longitudinal care plan is. So the edits in red pull in both of those suggestions based on the group's conversation last week, and I think capture everything that people wanted.
Anyone have any thoughts about this? I think you did a great job, Mark, in capturing the question and responding to it. I don't remember, was it Dave McCallie? Were you the one who raised the issue last week about this?
Yes, and I'm just reading this, but it looks pretty good.
All right. Does anyone else have any, I'm going to jump in there, any concerns or questions on this one?
Just a question.
Yes.
And the strength of and even automatically in the red text at the end. Not sure in what circumstance vehicle always can assume it is automatically or when we can say it is. So that's, I'm just hesitating a little bit there, but I think I'm okay with the intent, but I'm not sure whether the wording is that it drives automation in areas where that might not always be feasible or appropriate.
So you're talking, you're specifically about the even automatically phrase.
And even automatically is that if it were to say, and where appropriate automatically, I think that would work, but it's the even part, the word that.
Why don't you go ahead and make that edit, since it looks like you're in there, Hans.
I could be in there. While
Hans is working on that, I will, this is David again, just ask the question, Stephen, that you prompted me for a second ago. I think the phrase shared care coordination and plans in that first sentence probably addresses it, but I'll ask Mark to comment, which is that I think the ground floor of care plan management is communication, is the tools to enable members of the care team to talk with each other about the care plan. And it would be a mistake to try to put some kind of an automated system in place before you enable just easy communication, or in my opinion. Mark, is coordination include communication? Does that make sense?
I think yes, as does the planning and sort of the word shared. I think they go together.
But yeah, my concern is just that plan sounds like something written in a list. It much of care coordination is just simple. Should we do this or not? Should we get the CT now or wait a week? It's not necessarily something that's ever going to get written into a plan. That there's a dynamicism that plan seems to.
Yeah, that's fine. The word dynamic is there. There's a a fuller description on some of the links in the left-hand column is available, but to keep it succinct, some of these words capture a lot of details. I think dynamic, to your point, is the one that is used to flag that it's not a static document, but it gets adjusted in real time.
Okay. I see the dynamic now.
I just separated the noun and the verbs. All right. Anything else? I don't see any more hands. Can we turn this text black and boxes purple? Going once, going twice. Excellent. Thank you again, Mark, for your work. Arian, are you ready to take us back to the prior item?
Ready to do it.
All right. Let's go back there.
That was 12.
All right.
So a lot of red here. So I think we've already addressed the first bit of red. So recommend ONC with other federal partners and stakeholders increase education and outreach around the existing HIPAA right to correction. I think we've already addressed the therefore here. The proposed recommendation B is recommend that ONC work with other federal stakeholders and other federal partners and other stakeholders to establish a policy framework that increases the maturity, adoption, and use and practice of FHIR APIs that enable patients to exercise the HIPAA right to request for correction amendment process integrated into health IT and use, and then propose striking B and C and renumbering that the proposal is the new B is inclusive of B and C.
Christina, you're the owner here. How do you feel about that? I'm sorry, Grace, my bad. Grace, you're the owner. You comfortable with Arian's suggestions? Do we still have you, Grace?
Not Mark's got his hand up.
Hello?
Ah, there you are. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure on the, when we collapse B and C, that we still keep the certification criteria distinction versus the minimum floor.
Yeah, so the way that I'm trying to be careful not to, because I think we've gotten requests from ONC in the past not to be too prescriptive with the policy programmatics. Okay. And so I'm trying to be careful to talk about maturity, adoption, and use in practice, okay, which I think covers what certification and meaningful use or CMS programmatic inclusion is intended to get at.
So, Arian, are you in there?
I am no longer in there. Okay. Mark, are you making a comment on this topic as well?
I am, and I'm not seeing a shared screen anymore, if that matters to anybody.
Yeah, they stopped displaying. Okay.
So the comment was just, I don't know that this needs to change anything, but just a reminder that in the policy committee had recommended some certification criteria that both the amendment happen and that there be a separate criterion for forwarding that change to anybody who had received the corrected information. So just mm-hmm. flagging that historically there have been some things done around certification criteria and to make sure that we don't lose track of that in yep. whatever amending we're doing.
Gotcha. And you know, David's got some edits and you know, the policy framework could include certification. I think Stephen and I are trying to be really careful because we're the ISA, we're the ISP work group. And so, you know, we're talking about standards that want to get used and adopted as opposed to the specifics of the policy mechanisms. But I think noting that the HIT policy, so I think it's right here in the policy levers that we can include is reference information in the transmittal. That the notion that the HITPC recommended that ONC establish policy or certification criteria as part of the backgrounder to this piece, to this recommendation.
All All right. I'm trusting that everybody is in the Google Doc currently and they can see the state of this one.
Stephen, I concur with your edits. I think that's well done.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and accept those changes and we will have this one ready to wrap. We are now A, B, C, D, E. And any further thoughts on this one before we move on? No hands up. Do we think that Wendy's coming back or should we have somebody else do the display for a bit? Mike, any thoughts on that? Did we lose all of ONC? Okay, good.
Yeah. He's reconnecting, so give her a moment.
Okay, great. Well, let's not dilly-dally. We'll move on. So next on our, how are we doing for time? I think we've got a little bit more time here. Next up was going to be Hans and David talking about number 13, which is just below here, where we captured more about the accelerators. Is this still required, David, given where we've been?
I don't think so. I think we've covered the broad principle, which is the one that matters because it's flexible for future lists. I was enumerating these back before we had discussed the broad coordination of accelerators. So Hans, if you agree, I think this can be dropped.
And that would be 13, 14, and 15. Those all now become redundant.
Correct.
I think it's even 13, 14, 15, 16, and 24.
Does the 24 is about fire endpoints? Is that in an accelerator somewhere? I wasn't sure.
No, that's a little different, right?
Yeah, well, I thought, and that's Karen work with HHS.
And it's FAST, and I thought it was under the FAST/Karen efforts that are both accelerators. But if we want to avoid confusion, then it would keep 24 apart.
So we're going to strike through 13, 14, 15, and now 16, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just to for record.
Because Karen acts as a accelerator, so we want to make sure that everything they do picks up.
All right. Then let's see if we can, if nobody objects, transition to the lab work. You guys are doing great, by the way. Which brings us down to the bottom of the screen, and you're going to be pretty impressed by all the work that's gone into this. We're starting at number 31, and this includes, Arian and I had our way with these, attempting to incorporate some of Clem's input, as well as the input of others, and then Hung and Hans have worked really hard on these over the past few days. So you guys want to walk us through them top to bottom, starting with 31?
Sure, Hung, do you want to start?
Sure. So with 31, the intent of 31 is really to harmonize the ISA and the USCDI so that they reflect each other more, I guess, cohesively. As we know that there's now separation between what is included in USCDI versus what is included in other standards. And so this is an attempt to kind of realign everything and make sure that they reference each other appropriately.
And there is a recommendation and some explanatory text. So just give folks a moment to read through that and see if you have any questions or concerns. This really is digging deeper on topics that this group and others have tried to put forward over years.
A question, there's a lot of careful words there to parse, Hans, I'm not sure to whom address it, but does this address the notion of comparability of lab tests adequately, such that a clinician or a healthcare system receiving lab results from outside labs has all information necessary to determine which tests are comparable to each other? Does this recommendation encompass that?
No, that's in 32A.
Okay. All right, lots to read here. Sorry.
This one's saying, like in English, this one's saying, let's establish that there's a common information that needs to be carried with a result. And the 32A is saying, and then here's the all of the information that goes into those slots that's necessary to establish comparability.
Okay, I want to make sure we don't lose track of that goal, because sometimes the, you know, why are we doing this is really important to surface, because you can get lost in the details if you don't know why you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a good point to clarify in 32A.
When we move this to a transmittal, we probably will want to have a preamble section that lists the why here. I mean, what I would memorialize as the why is that we actually have pretty decent adoption of electronic resulting. We have lower adoption of interoperable electronic ordering, but the lack of standardization in practice creates administrative workload on all of the actors associated with the supply chain, and limits the comparability and broad use of lab data to improve patient health, improve care, facilitate public health, and broaden research. That would be the summary statement of why we're recommending all this mess, right?
Yeah, as long as you have a, for example, clinicians can't tell if the test answers their question because they don't understand the test kit. high level, you are eloquent as always. Just let's make sure we have the details of a use case. I mean, as I related way back when we first started talking about this, you know, in 1991, when we designed a flow sheet, we realized that we didn't have enough information to know which test could be put on the same row in the flow sheet. And that problem still exists today, 30 years later.
All right. Mark has his hand up.
Mark?
Yes. In 31, the last words of the bolded statement reflect the data in USCDI. I'm just checking, do we mean USCDI here or do we mean ISA?
We mean USCDI.
Yeah. I think the intent was to say is that we have across all these different standards and capabilities, CLIA, various standards, FHIR, V2, we have a rich data set that's already agreed to communicate as orders and as results. And only a portion of that is in the USCDI. So it's a combination of both, is that take that information then from what we have harmonized and make sure it sits in the USCDI, because that's our focus.
This is the sibling recommendation to our recommendation in the USCDI portion, where we said, hey, we should expand the amount of data that's in the USCDI, and then we should link and harmonize it. Here we're talking about, because we're in the ISA portion of our work group, here we're talking about the standards and implementation specifications and making the sibling recommendations.
So I thought reflect was perhaps a little ambiguous. So I suggest incorporate this data in USCDI.
Harmonize this data.
Is harmonize more appropriate?
Hans?
Harmonize is fine. Incorporate is fine. I'm
okay. Let's just keep it at incorporate.
Yep.
Okay. All right. If there's nothing else on this one, I'd like us to keep moving forward. 32A.
So 32A recommend that ONC and other relevant AGS partners and other stakeholders.
You need to scroll down one. So we're looking at 32. Sorry, you're
perfect.
Yeah, stop. There we go.
Good.
Recommend that ONC and other relevant HSS and other federal partners create policies sufficient to encourage, incent, require, and otherwise enable resulting organizations to support the resulting information model and associated communication and content standards for orders and results when exchanging this data via messages, documents, application, programming interfaces, and or other future transport mechanisms. And so this lays out the central strategy of SHIELD, in which we represent lab tests with a series of codes that represent the digital fingerprint of that test. And so that no matter where it goes in healthcare ecosystem, we are able to have sufficient information about the test to use it for various primary purposes and also secondary purposes like regulatory decision-making and for research. And yeah. So the intent of this is to thoroughly describe the test for every test.
Yeah, so what I'd say, because I was involved in breaking a mega recommendation up, is that 32A, B, and C, maybe D as well, taken together really accomplish what Hung's looking for. This one in particular is saying, hey, this is important enough that we need to establish a policy framework that's inclusive of all of the actors along the resulting supply chain. And we have the same thing for all the actors in the ordering supply chain. And then, 32B, C, D, E, and F, and maybe even more, are a lot of the detail associated with each of the pieces that are required. So keep that in mind as you're thinking about these things that we try to separate them so that they're individually consumable, but they logically cluster as these are the set of recommendations associated with resulting.
Yeah, the results actually cover 32 in its entirety. So 32A through H. I can't quite get them all on the screen. Yeah. I'm working on it.
Not to be confused with couch. Yeah.
So 32B recommends pretty much that we move the coding as upstream as possible so that we are not having to try and code orders and results after they have been performed. And so to associate the code with the order and with the performable test as as closely at the point of generation as possible. 32C, it recommends that basically we try to automate the process of mapping the codes and make it easy as much as possible, because obviously if it's not easy, no one's going to use it. And so this is an attempt to get the stakeholders together and to make sure that the IVD vendors and LIS vendors are working together to make the mapping as upstream as possible, but also as easy as possible with automation and scanning.
Hung, as many times as I've seen and edited the text, I think the for orders communication of an order should include language should be moved over to the order section. This one, as early in the process as possible, clearly starting with the order, the two key parts are start with the order and the IVD. That's the right way to think about this section. And of the two of them, the IVD is the one that's most impactful for the results.
Yeah.
So we should say something. We should say something when we say as early in the process as possible. We should say that what we're really talking about is starting with the IVD and in some cases the order itself, as opposed to the post hoc cleaning of this and mapping of this data in the LIS and in the EHR. So I will volunteer to draft some language there. Hans has some.
Yeah, and it's effectively a two-pronged approach, is that start with the order and start with the IVD test. And the reason is that not everything from the order can move into the IVD device.
That's right.
And anything that can move into the IVD device, you need to start it there, so that we need to tackle it from both angles.
Completely agreed. Yep. Okay, I'll propose something. Keep going.
Okay.
Okay. 32D. Recommend that ONC in coordination with other federal partners, SDOs, and industry stakeholders assure that there is a well-managed and appropriately resourced process to develop and deliver additional LOINC, SNOMED, CT when needed, for new tests or needed variations of existing tests. So the intent of this is to have agility so that when a new code is needed, it can be developed quickly. And there is a streamlined approach to requesting and getting these codes as needed so that we don't run into the issue of not having a code when we need it. We saw that during the pandemic, that organizations can move very quickly when they want to or need to. And so this is an attempt to just make sure that they are given this adequate resources to respond accordingly to the need of the community.
Great.
A question. David? Yeah, a question to Hung. I was under the impression from earlier conversations that there's data in the Shield spreadsheets that's not in Loink and or SNOMED. Is that a misinformation? And if it is, if it's wrong, then I stand corrected. If it's true, should that be listed also here?
This is separate in that this is just addressing the you know, the SDOs and code publishers that we need to work with. The leader, what you're referring to, actually will be addressed later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Quick review of my red language in 32B.
Yeah, I'm looking for, I do remember seeing leader here. So part of the SHIELD initiative is to develop a central repository where all the coding resides and will be a source of truth for it. And so that is where laboratories could pull the coding and also verify that their coding is correct. But that's separate from the intent of 32D. Okay. 32E recommend that ONC in coordination with the FDA standard developing organization manufacturers and industry stakeholders include SHIELD, enhance the ability for test results to include identification of device and use to perform the test using the device's model, device identifier, and preferably the UDI while streamlining the documentation of such identification as this test is performed and documented. And so this also goes in hand with the need for the information on the test kit and instrument to make sure that there is adequate information for comparability when it crosses throughout the healthcare ecosystem.
Okay. No hands, go ahead.
Okay, 32F, recommend that OC in conjunction with other federal partners, SDOs, and industry stakeholders create policy levers inclusive of guidance, education, certification criteria, and payment programs that lead EHRs, laboratory information systems, radiologic information systems to provide tools and guidance that allow clients, users to map internally generated results and result codes, including observation and values to standard vocabularies in cases where coding is not done at the source.
So to restate that in English, other than this incredibly carefully crafted language, there's going to be some subset of subset of laboratory developed tests where the LIS based mapping is not going to be comprehensive or lead to the right result, and so we need to also incent or encourage or otherwise enable LISs and RISs and their the organizations that use them to create and maintain maps.
All right.
Can somebody scroll up?
Wendy, can you scroll down so we can see all the way down to 32H?
Okay. Recommend that ONC in coordination with the FDA, standard or development organization, manufacturers, and industry stakeholders include SHIELD, provide the ability for testing devices identifiers to be registered in the GUDID registry for additional device information as well as linkage to the mapping knowledge base. So that again addresses the development of the UDI So there's information on the test kit and the book.
Sorry. We're getting there.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
32G, recommend that ONC in conjunction with other federal partners, SEOs, and industry stakeholders create and implement mechanisms to support and ensure proper and consistent LOINC, SNOME, SCT encoding across result sources. And so this is where LEADER is addressed, in which there is a central repository for all the codes and will serve as a source of truth for the coding and provide a mechanism for dissemination of that code automatically as possible to the laboratories.
And H is the last in 32, which is about as far as recommend we're going to get.
Recommend that ONC, in coordination with FDA, SDOs, manufacturers, and industry stakeholders, including SHIELD, provide the ability for testing devices and identifiers to be registered. Did we already address that?
Yeah, I think
I might have read
that. Might be a duplicate.
I don't think it's a duplicate.
I might have skipped ahead accidentally.
Yeah, it's not a duplicate because this one goes into the earlier one was about having on the result the device that was used to perform the test and provide the answer. This one is that the device itself, independent of the result, is listed in FDA's GUDIT, which currently is primarily focused on implantable devices and other devices, but that it's in there as well, and that it from there also can provide linkages to the SHIELD's proposed laboratory directory, if you will, where the mappings are and otherwise, so that, that those capabilities are connected, so that you can really have the tools to look up by way of APIs and otherwise to get access to that information one way or the other way. And GUDIT is the one that is used by the FDA to maintain their based on device identifier information about that device that may not be elsewhere.
So a tremendous amount of work has gone into the recommendations that were just presented under 32 about the results. Specifically, 33 contains more information about orders, and then 34 and 35 take this further. But I'd like to see if we are comfortable accepting the 32 list of recommendations as a work group before we go to public comment. Hans?
Just a quick note. I made an earlier comment about in 32B changing the term answer to response with an additional suggestion for me, should it be result value? So that may be something that still needs to be worked out to get the right word there.
So hold on. So first of all, I've got now proposed language for what we mean by as early as possible. So I want to encourage people to look at that and see if that makes, if that clarifies intent. Answer in this case is responsive to ask at order entry question. So you may be thinking about a laboratory, this is the AOE question and AOE answer, and the actual answer text. And so if you think we should change the word answer to response, I'm fine with it, but
why don't we just label it as an AOE answer?
Works for me. Yep.
Hans, you're in there. Do you want to make that change?
Yep, I'll make it.
All right, we will cut to public comments.
All right, everybody, if you are on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be on the phone only, press star 9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press star 6 to mute or unmute your line. So we'll pause to see if we have any public comments and continue to monitor until the end of our meeting. Not seeing any comments at this time. Stephen and Arian, so I'll turn it back to you.
Wonderful. And again, we always encourage public comments, so please feel free to jump in if you like.
Yep, I don't think we got a big chunk for orders. We made a huge amount of progress today. I think we're pretty close to getting this thing wrapped up. So I'd imagine that our next session is the last push to make sure that we've got everything fully in recommendations text prior to starting to wrap this up in a formal transmittal format.
I just want to clarify to be sure that is anyone on the work group have any further suggestions around the 32 recommendations, or can we consider those finalized? Okay, they are now purple. So as you say, we will jump back in with the rest of the lab recommendations next week, 33, 34, 35. Steve Eichner, I see you moved your work that you had added at the bottom up above. So we do have a few more to go through, not too many. Let me just sort of get a bird's eye view of our document here. So I think we still have Arian, your number 5, data exchange for price transparency. We have Mark's number 7, SDOH standards related to race and ethnicity vocabulary. We have completed this one. We then go down. I think we took care of those. This is amazing. We have my number 21, tracking ISA standards to support bidirectional communications with community-based social service organizations. So we will...
My price transparency one might already be addressed in 18, which would be fantastic.
if so, why don't you consider that?
I'll
and
look
if
at
so,
it.
Just strike
yeah.
it out.
Yep.
David McCallie, you have 22 and 23. Are you interested in us getting to those next time? You want us to consider those, I assume?
Sure. They should be quick.
Okay, very good. You also have 24 on the fire endpoints, so we'll come back to that one. And we have Clem has 25. Did Clem ever join us today?
He did not join us today.
Okay, this has to do with, actually delivering. Okay, we can discuss that one. I think we'll probably have time for that next time if Clem is here to recommend it. And I think other than that, we may be through the list, which is pretty remarkable. Anyone else want to provide any observations about our process thus far? Or our direction, we're going to try to get through all of this next week. If we have a little carryover into the following week, so be it. But
I think we're going to make it. I think we're going to stun and awe the high tech. They won't know what to do with it.
Glad you guys are going to be doing the recommendations at that meeting, because this is
it's going to be a mouthful. Yes, indeed.
Stephen now has the trick for USCDI, which has been very successful, which is talk fast and present a lot of questions or a lot of content and then ask any questions. And you just stun the high tech into submission.
It's also helpful because we've given ourselves a couple of weeks to prepare for the presentation. So we'll make sure that the Word document and the slide deck are crisp and clean and reflect what we want to say. And then we will also run it by the high tech co-chairs to make sure that they have any questions ready for us to address. All right. Well, wonderful. We are at the end of our time together. Thank you again. We will see you next week. And please, anybody who wants to make a run through, especially those things that are yet to be presented, make sure that they're crisp and clean and ready to discuss. Have a great day.
Thanks much. Bye.